running from God. Scripture is Luke 9, verse 23 through 25. Scripture reader Tom Milligan, presiding at the Lord's table, Wiley Edwards and Charlie Hopkins, Jr. Closing prayer, Greg Stripe. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Father, we're thankful for this day, for this time that you've given us to assemble for worship. We ask our blessings, Father, upon all who are here and upon those who had a desire to be here today but were unable. Be with us now, Father, in this service unto thee. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
If you would turn your hymnbook to page 282. 282. Sing verses 1, 2, and 5. 1, 2, and 5.
The Lord's my shepherd, of God's law, He takes me down to He's my king, no other is above him. my King. Streams of love are in my soul are flowing. From His heart flows everlasting stream. That is why my faith in Him I'm showing. That is why in His soul I see. He's my King, and oh, I really love Him. He's my King, no other is above Him. Oh, me, oh, His rapture brings I see. He's my Savior, He's my King. In His life, I'm going home to glory. With a soul whose trust is saving grace, going home to sing and tell His glory. In the blessed sunshine of His face, He's my King, and oh, I dearly love Him. He's my King, no other is above Him. Oh, Him all in rapture great I see. He's my Savior, He's my King.
Shall we pray? Our most kind and loving Heavenly Father, we're so thankful unto you, Heavenly Father, for giving us yet another day, for rising us from our beds this morning, Heavenly Father, giving each and every one of us this opportunity to come together and worship service unto you, Heavenly Father. We know, Heavenly Father, that this life is like a vapor, and we can't take any moment that we have for granted, Heavenly Father, that each and every day that we should devote our lives to you, that we should live that Christian lifestyle, Heavenly Father, set the right examples to follow your example each and every time that we face any challenges from this world, Heavenly Father. And also for those that may not be Christians, Heavenly Father, that pray that they will take the steps that is necessary so that they can be saved and have that hope of eternal salvation. We just pray, Heavenly Father, that you would be with people of Hawaii at this time, Heavenly Father, as they are dealing with the devastation of these fires, Heavenly Father, that you would be with those that have lost loved ones, that you would comfort those that have lost so much of their possessions, Heavenly Father, that you would guide them through this difficult time. And we just know that through you, Heavenly Father, that they will be able to overcome this over time, Heavenly Father. And we just pray that you would be with the rest of this country, Heavenly Father, for we see the problems that still plague this country. We see the division that is still out there. We see the consequences that we face, Heavenly Father, for not following thy word. Going out there, Heavenly Father, and doing the things that we feel is best for us, but Heavenly Father, but we know that if we were to follow thy word, that to follow the word that we read in the Bible each and every day, Heavenly Father, that this would be such a better world for each and every one of us to live to. There would be more love, Heavenly Father, more unity. We just pray, Heavenly Father, that we're so thankful for thy patience, Heavenly Father, that you realize the flaws that we have, that you continue to watch over us, that you continue to forgive us of our sins each and every day, Heavenly Father, that you continue to bless us. We're so thankful unto you for that, Heavenly Father. We also pray that you would be with those that were mentioned sick, that you would be with them as they strive to get back to their much-wanted health, that you would be with those that are looking over them. I also pray that you would be with the Smith family at this time, Heavenly Father, during this time of grieving, that you would comfort them, Heavenly Father, that you would be with them as they navigate through this difficult time, Heavenly Father. We also pray that you will be with our brother Davis, as he prepared the lessons for it this morning, Heavenly Father. We pray that we will give him our undivided attention. That which he is going to teach to us today, Heavenly Father, that we can take that we learn and be able to apply to our lives. And we also pray that you would continue to be with the leaders of this congregation as they tend to the needs, of this building, as they continue to assure that our worship service is according to thy will, Heavenly Father, as they each and every first day of the week, as they make sure that everything is in orderly fashion and also in accordance to thy will. And we're so grateful for the hard work that they put forth each and every first day of the week and each and every day for us, Heavenly Father. We also just pray, Heavenly Father, that you will continue to watch over us as we start this new week, to keep us safe, to assure that we do not fall into the trappings of the world, that we remember that we can always come to you with this avenue of prayer when we have any problem that we may face. We don't have to face anything alone, Heavenly Father. We just pray that you continue to watch over us, forgive us of our sins. For these we ask for in thy Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Before we partake in the Lord's Supper this morning, please turn to hymn books, page 361. 361. Sing verses 1, 2, and 4. 1, 2, and 4.
Oh, blessed my Savior, please, and in my suffering, would he devote that sacred hand for such a
Christ Jesus came into the world and he demonstrated how much he loved each and every one of us. In John chapter 10, verses 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lay down his life for the sheep. Before us, we have two emblems that brings to our memory his death, burial, and his resurrection. We have the bread that represents his body that was crucified on the cross at Calvary, and the cup as the fruit of the vine that represents his shed blood that was shed for many for the remission of sin. At this time, let us bow and give thanks for the bread. O kind and merciful Father, we are so humble and thankful this morning that we can all come together on the first day of the week to remember our Savior and to remember what he did for each and every one of us. We are so grateful and so thankful for this privilege we have to partake of this bread. For it is in Jesus' name we give you all praise, honor, and glory. Amen.
Let us give thanks for the fruit of the vine. Our most kind and loving Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this opportunity, Heavenly Father, to come together on the first day of the week, Heavenly Father, to be able to gather around the Lord's table, to come together in fellowship, Heavenly Father, to come together in remembrance of thy great sacrifice that thy Son Jesus made on our behalf, becoming that perfect lamb without spot or blemish, loving this world so much, Heavenly Father, that he was willing to give his life so that we may have that hope at eternal salvation. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, that as we are about to partake of this fruit of the vine that represents thy Son's most precious blood, that we partake of it in a way and a manner that will be pleasing in thy sight. For this we ask for in thy Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
If anyone was overlooked upon serving the Lord's Supper, please signal by raising your hand and you will be served. We have another commandment, another honorary duty as Christians, that is to lay by in store and to be prepared to give back to God the first fruits of our labor. At this time, we now have the privilege to do so. Let us bow and give thanks. O kind and merciful Father, we are so grateful and so thankful and humble and honored to have this opportunity and this privilege to give back to the Church of Christ help spread the gospel throughout the world. We thank you, Father, for all of the abilities that we have, all of the ways and means that you enable us to take care of our families and ourselves. But we thank you for this privilege. In Jesus' name, amen.
I walk with the King. Lesson will be Running from God. And the scripture is taken from the book of Luke. Luke chapter 9, verses 23 to 25. Then he said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost?" Brother Dave.
Thank you, Tom. Good morning, church. Today the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. It's good to be able to fellowship, be able to praise, be able to sing songs in His holy name. And it is truly, truly good to see each and every one of you. And I want to emphasize that it is good to be able to see each and every one of you. Time is just moving on. It's moving on, and so are some people moving on. You know, yesterday I was at the grocery store, and I just happened to see several of my old classmates from high school back in the olden days. And it was good to see them. And just the fact that we take for granted each and every day. Each and every day is a blessing. So I say again, and when you walk out of here, you say to each other, it is always good to see each and every one of you. And let the peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. I want to take this opportunity to also greet our guests. If you're here, we want to let you know that we are so happy that you've chosen to fellowship with us this morning. You are truly our honored guest. We hope that, that our lesson to this morning has been both uplifting and edifying to you. And we ask that before our service is over, that you don't rush off and give us an opportunity to again meet you. And we thank you again for joining us this morning. Life is truly, truly a blessing from God. You know, as we get older, sometimes we think about things that we used to be able to do instead of just thanking God for what we're able to do right now. You know, we say as we get older sometimes, some young folks, you probably don't understand this. When you think about when you get older sometimes, it's like, man, that hurt. That didn't used to hurt before, you know. But we should thank God for feeling so we can feel that pain. You know, food don't taste the way it used to be, but thank God we can still taste. Thank God we can still hear. Thank God we can still breathe and get up out of bed in the morning. Life is truly a blessing. Ephesians 1 and 3 says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And Psalms 40 and 5 says, many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I were to declare and speak of them, they are more than they can be numbered. You, Lord God, have done many, many wonderful things, and you have planned marvelous things for us. None is like you. I would never be able to tell all that you have done. Take every day and every opportunity to thank the Lord for the life that we are living today. When we think about, we just talked about the devastation that's going on in Hawaii, but there's always something that's going on. But God has kept us. Every day is a blessing. So this morning, I'd like to begin my lesson by telling a little tale before we get into our lesson in depth. But it's one that I've told in the past, but I think it's very prevalent today. And it's a little story about four people. And those four people's names are everybody, somebody, anybody, and nobody. There was an important job that needed to be done, and everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry about that because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought that anybody could do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it, and it ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. This little story is unfortunately common in the world that we live in. However, we must understand that as Christians, that we serve a God. We serve a God that can take a nobody and get them to tell everybody about somebody who can save the souls of anybody. However, we must be willing to do what the Lord tells us to do, and not to be so overwhelmed by our own limited understanding as to run away from our holy and our godly responsibilities. Galatians 6 and 9 tells us not to be weary in well-doing. However, people today find many different reasons. They find many different reasons for running away from God. Let me explain. Perhaps they fear that it is somewhat dangerous. It is somewhat dangerous for them to get too close to Him, as the Lord may have them to have to answer questions that they may not want to have to answer, or have them to do things that they are unwilling or even afraid to do. Or as God may even request that they give up sometimes precious earthly possessions. We've read that in the Bible. Or habits or relationships that are just not right in God's sight. People also run away from God for different reasons in different ways. By keeping their distance, by rooting themselves in disobedience, or by indulging in false doctrines or beliefs. People find different reasons for running away from God. Some people try to follow God, the Son, Jesus Christ, at a distance. As Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, Peter, the scripture tells us, followed him at a distance, Matthew 26 through 58. Perhaps Peter truly wanted to follow Jesus, but was afraid of what may happen to him if he was to stay too close. After all, scripture does say that Peter denied Christ three times. Self-preservation seems to be the overriding motive sometimes when people try to keep a safe distance from God. But I'm here to tell you this morning, that this kind of thinking, this kind of behavior is foolish. It is foolish. For the safest place is not to be far away from God, we know that, but to be near him, in the shadows of his wings. As Psalms 91, 1 and 2 would say, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. So you see, it is also foolish to think that we can preserve ourselves by running away from God. But because Jesus taught us that in trying to save our lives, we end up losing it. And clinging onto life takes us away from the God who gave it to us in the first place. And this ironically means that we will lose it. And just for emphasis, our scripture says that whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and what follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and lose it or forfeit for themselves? As always, the Word of God, the Bible, gives us an excellent illustration of this fact. So this morning, I want to look at that. We want to discuss a book that is almost everybody knows, but not everyone is truly aware of its meaning. There have been stories written or annotations written in one familiar passage of this book, but somehow the rest of it just kind of falls by the wayside. And I'm sure that every Sunday school teacher in America has probably shared the story of Jonah and the whale. We know about Jonah and the whale. We know about the movie Pinocchio when we have Papa Geppetto getting swallowed by the whale, right? But this is not that story. We are going to look at it again as adults and take a deeper meaning of it. So let's look at the book of Jonah. We know about Jonah, just an overview about it. Jonah himself was a Hebrew prophet that God had commanded to go to the Assyrian city of Nineveh to warn the people that God had seen their evil ways and that his wrath and destruction was to be upon them. So that's what Jonah was supposed to do. He was supposed to go to Nineveh and warn these people that God was going to have wrath upon them. Now, with Jonah being a Hebrew prophet, other prophets at that time had already declared that due to Israel's progressive rebellion, just not doing what God had asked them to do, that God would use the Assyrians as an instrument of punishment against them. You can see a proof of this in Hosea 11 and 5, where it says, will they not return to Egypt, and will not Assyria rule over them because they refuse to repent? We can see in Amos 5 and 27, it says, therefore I will send unto you into exile beyond Damascus, saith the Lord, whose name is God Almighty. So Jonah being a Hebrew prophet, does not want any part of the Assyrians, does not want to go and do this. Okay, Jonah was no part of trying to warn the Assyrian people of God's wrath, based upon what I just shared with you there. Jonah was resistant. He was very resistant. Excuse me. He was asked to do something he didn't want to do. And so what he attempts to do, scripture tells us, he attempts to flee to Tarshish. Now Tarshish, Tarshish is now modern day Spain, which would be approximately 2,000 miles in the opposite direction of where Jonah was attempted to go. So let's look at Jonah here. Jonah, you have a charge that I've given you to do, is what God is saying to Jonah, and you got to go this way. And so Jonah is saying to God, this way, I need to go this way, but I'm going that way. And that's exactly what he did, 2,000 miles. So it's like he's going from here to approximately Arizona in the opposite direction of where he is supposed to go. So scripture tells us, as we continue on, and he's going by boat. So he's going by boat. So he has no intention of doing anything that God is telling him to do. He's running away from his responsibility. And scripture tells us that a storm arises and the crew prays to their gods. Now I want you to pay very close attention to this passage of scripture, because it's very, very relevant, and it's very similar to what we have in the New Testament as well. But it says that the storm arises and the crew prays to their gods, gods with a small g, okay, not the god with the big G. They were frightened because Jonah had already told them, he had already told them that he was running from the Lord. And he was running from the Lord. And the storm was getting worse until finally the sailors asked, what should we do with you to make the sea calm down? And Jonah told them, he said, just throw me into the sea. Throw me into the sea and it will calm it down because I'm the cause of this, this terrible storm. So Jonah knew that what he was doing was against God, and now he's starting to see some consequences to his action. Jonah is tossed into the sea, swallowed by a great fish, and the seas calmed down. Now we know from scripture that Jonah did not die for being swallowed. He is still alive in the belly of the beast for 3 days and three nights. He's in the belly of the beast, scripture tells you, for 3 days and three nights. So he is somewhat entombed in the belly of the beast. And then he begins to pray. Part of Jonah's prayer starts in chapter 2, and he says, those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed. So I'm going to do what you tell me to do, Lord. And I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. Now that's very interesting there. Because it says, what it says there is that when we've been disobedient to God, to God's will, or try to avoid his will, punishment and or chastisement will occur. It will occur. However, his mercy can sometimes give us a chance to repent. Did you hear me? His mercy will sometimes give us a chance to repent. Why did I say sometimes? Because he'll give us a chance if we don't wait too long. We know when it comes, if we're going to be stubborn in our own way, sometimes it can be too late. But he will give you mercy if you don't wait too long. So after Jonah's prayer of worship and repentance, scripture tells us that God spoke to the great fish, and it vomited Jonah unto dry land. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go into Nineveh. Now do like I told you, basically. The great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I have bid thee. So Jonah rose, went into Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city of 3 days' journey. In other words, it takes 3 days to get from one edge of Nineveh to the other. And Jonah began to enter the city a day's journey, roughly 25 miles travel to Nineveh, and cried and said, yet 40 days. So now he's given the message that God has told him to give to the people of Nineveh, the Assyrians. He said, for 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So here's what the people did. God had proclaimed a fast. The people believed in God, and they proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, and the greatest of them from to the least of them. So you're talking about they started to humble themselves. They started to fast. They started to repent. And even the king and the animals did the same thing. This was the customs at the time, that they would put on sackcloth, that they would humble themselves. They would do all of these things to show reverence to God, to show repentance to God. So it says in Jonah 3 that God saw their works, and they turned from their evil way. And God repented from the evil, and he said that he would not do unto them, and he did not. So think about let me finish the scripture. It says, Jonah was quite distraught at his turn of events, and he was despaired, even to the point of wanting to die. He perched himself on a hilltop nearby, eagerly watching the city in hopes that the Lord would yet destroy it. So he done went through all this thing. So you got him doing what you're telling me to do. So I'm thinking that you're going to continue to do what you want to do. And he didn't. God repented from that because the people repented. God showed mercy. So now Jonah is upset with this. Now, wait a minute. I don't want through all this and now you're going to change your mind? But think about God's mercy towards us. You know, when we know that we know that something should happen, but as long as we say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm going to show you I'm better. God said, okay, because your faith was set to go this way and you're going down this path. And see, where we're going to go with this is going to be a little bit different. Let me continue. God caused a shady vine to grow up for his refreshment, and the prophet was glad. On the following day, however, God sent a worm to smite Jonah's vine, and as the blistering sun beat upon his head, Jonah again lapsed into a state of abject depression. The Lord rebuked Jonah in effect, saying, Jonah, why is it that you are so concerned with this vine, a mere plant, which is temporal, for which you did not labor, and yet your evident, utterly no concern for the hapless inhabitants of Nineveh, that great city wherein more than 60,000, approximately in our time, 120,000 people cannot discern between their right hand or their left. I sent you to go tell these people to turn from their evil ways, or I'm going to destroy them. They don't know what they're doing. So I need you to go and tell them this. Now you're so upset because you expect me to continue to go on with wrath when they are trying to turn it around. Isn't that like how we think sometimes as people? Nobody in here. But I'm just thinking about that for a minute, and I'm being funny there. But think about that for a minute. When somebody says, I'm sorry, I want to be better. Oh, no, no. I'm showing you I want to be better. Because I remember when. God, we don't serve a God like that. Where would we be if we served a God that just kept to what we used to be? Oh, my God. Where would we be now? How far can we absolutely go? The lessons learned from Jonah is that Jonah is validated. The story of Jonah is validated by Jesus Christ. You go to Matthew 12, 39 and 41, it says, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, but there shall be no signs given to it for the sign of a prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. There's that one correlation there. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented the preaching of the Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. So he went to go save these people by the hand of God. This is the first we've heard of this. And then because they repented, they were saved. 120,000 souls. What if Jonah had just continued to run in the other direction? Those people would have been doomed. What if Jesus Christ hadn't been obedient to God's will and not died on the cross? We would have been doomed. Bible's consistency of 3 days, 40 days, the great storm, the Jonah asleep below the deck on the boat. All of these are consistencies of the Bible. We see that time and time and time again. God's mercy is for all of us. Scripture says that in Jonah that the people of Nineveh could not discern their right hand from their left. That means they don't know exactly what they're doing. They're just being, just kind of like, you know, making it up as they go along, if you will. Jesus will say on the cross, forgive them, Lord. Why? Because they know not what they do. God may give you time to get it right. That's the whole piece behind it. That's the mercy of God. You can't run from someone who's going to give you a chance to get it right. God will use you when you don't want to be used. His will be done. See, things that are going to happen to in our lives that command us to do something that our flesh simply doesn't want to do. And it kind of goes back to our little story this morning about somebody, nobody, anybody, everybody. We're going to be asked as believers of God to go do something to help save another brother, to save another sister. And it may not be, we may not think we have anything to do with it, but we look at the story of Jonah. Had Jonah not did what he was supposed to do, 120,000 people would have been condemned. But God asked us to do something. We don't know what God's will in somebody else's life is. But when we're asked to go do something and we're not being obedient, we don't just affect us. We affect somebody else. Now, we can feel that conviction because that's an opportunity for us to go and get it right. Don't go get it right. And then guess what? You're going to be in your own proverbial belly of the beast. Matthew 5, 44 and 45 will say, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends rain to the righteous and the unrighteous. Send someone a message when you're supposed to send someone a message. God gives that to us. And Scripture tells us that whoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, Colossians 3 and 23. We're going to be asked to do things, to forgive others. That's hard to do for us sometimes. Because we don't want to forget. And if we do try to forget, when we see them, we remember it again. You know, when we talk about we see people sometimes, you can say, I haven't seen you since high school. When you used to do this, that, and the other thing. But you may have been in high school for 40 years. How do you still remember stuff like that? But we need to forgive each other. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Ephesians 4 and 32. Bridle your tongue. Sometimes you just can't say whatever pops in your head. So, you know, James 1 and 26. And be still when we're supposed to be still. Psalms 46 and 10. We can't run from God's will. We're not supposed to run from God's will. We cannot do that as people. God will chasing us. God will punish us. But we have opportunities to get it right. Again, if we don't wait. You can't run from God or his will. Instead, as a starter, we have to run to God to gain our reward. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 and 27 says, you know that many runners enter a race, and only one of them wins the prize. So run to win. Athletes work hard to win a crown that cannot last, but we do it for a crown that will last forever. I do not run without a goal, and I don't box by beating my fist into the air. I keep my body under control and make it a slave, so I won't lose out after telling the good news to others. And Hebrews 12 and 1 says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. We live in a world right now where we're Christians right now. We really got to work together. And God is going to tell us who to talk to. God is going to tell us what to do. And some of those things are not going to be comfortable for us. Some of those things are not going to be favorable in what we think we got going on in our lives right now. But our life is, as mentioned this morning, our life is but faithful. And we have a work to do. And we cannot run from what God has for us. We cannot run from our responsibilities to him if we ever expect to get to that great reward that is waiting for all of us in heaven. And so, you've heard his word. If you're here this morning and you're not a member of the Lord's church, the question is simple. What must I do to be saved? Understand that God has already done his part by sending his son, Christ Jesus, to die on the cross for remission of sin. That whosoever believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Your part, if you so choose, you've heard his word, believe in his word. Repent of your sins, confess that Jesus is Lord, be baptized and come out of the water and walk in the newness of life. And God alone will add you to his church. Acts 4, 2, 2 and 47. However, if you're already a Christian, you've strayed away for whatever reason. Understand, you cannot run from God. You cannot run from his will. He's going to give you an opportunity on this day to come back. His mercy endureth forever. But we cannot wait too long. Remember, he's waiting to rejoice and celebrate your return. If you are in need of prayer, I can always tell you that prayer works. Prayer works. Prayer works. So may the God of hope, fill you with all the joy and all the peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So whatever your needs this morning, we ask that you make them known as you come forward, have a seat on the first pew, as together we stand and sing the song of invitation. May God bless you all.
Fearless soul, however you linger, wandering from the fold of God, hear you not the exhortation, for prepare to meet thy God. Careless soul, oh, heed the warning, for your heart will soon be gone. Oh, how sad to think of the unprepared to be thy God. Why so lawless are you standing?
Oh,